thoughts of the world or problems that we have and concentrate on God's word. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist, not to be confused with the Apostle John, whose writing this is. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him and said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of our God.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. What a privilege is to worship your holy name. And we know that because you have opened our eyes. And we give you the glory for that. Jesus said that we would worship in spirit and truth. That's what we do every Sunday here and with our lives every day. We thank you for that work that you have done and you keep doing in us. We thank you, Lord, as well for your word that can be preached this morning. Holy Spirit, do your work. Change our hearts. We need your word. Help us this morning. Help me and guide my life. We pray in Jesus. Amen. Okay, so I want to tell you something about my dad, about my father. He never finished school. I think he went up to ninth grade, maybe, and he was raised in the countryside. And my grandfather, he made him start working when he was really young, maybe 9, 10 years old. Later, he moved to the city, and when he was in his 20s, maybe less than that, he worked for a company that made spaghetti. And he started out cleaning and driving trucks, you know, to deliver their product to different markets. And he told me that while he was working there, he would be asking questions about everything that they did to make the final product. And after a few months, he got promoted to a production job. And again, he was watching closely everything, asking many questions and learning everything he could. Later, he got another promotion as a salesperson, going to both, you know, small and bigger supermarkets to sell the product. And he kept observing, asking questions, and learning from everyone there around. Later, he married my mom. He saved some money, and he bought a machine to make a spaghetti at home. And he thought about everything, a name for his brand, and to put into practice everything that he had learned in this company. After a few years, I'm not lying to you, his product became the best seller in El Salvador. And he basically retired now, and he sold the company. And do you know where I got this? In Vallarta, or I should say Bolota for you guys. here in Lancaster. And this is the product that my dad created 40 years ago. And he was the one who made it possible to bring in here in the U.S. Of course, it brings many memories to me, because when I was a kid, he would take us to the factory, but not to give us money or stuff like that, not to work, of course. That's what they do. So it brings many memories. And I remember everything. I mean, the design and everything is just how he did it about 40 years ago. And you can see here somewhere, made in El Salvador. So if you want to get it later, you can just come to me after the service, because I just got over, you can imagine. So I think one of the things that we see in this story is how Jesus asked those men to be his disciples. To do that, they had to leave everything behind to follow him, to watch and to learn from him, because they would become his witnesses. So let's go to the passage, verse 35. It says, I think that I have a different version, but it's pretty much the same. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And as Rich said, it's John the Baptist. And having disciples was a common thing to do in those times. It was an integral learning process that ensured the continuity of tradition and a devout life. Rabbis, teachers of the law, and religious leaders would usually do this work of discipleship. And then we have verse 36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, this is John the Baptist, look, the Lamb of God. And John has said this before, verse 29. I know that Tim was talking about this last week. And it was important for John to repeat it, because he's pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. And we will see later that John's disciple ended following Jesus. So he did a good job. And that's what John the Baptist wanted. He's saying he's the one you should follow. And as I said, Tim said last week that John the Baptist wouldn't accept being the one to bring what Jesus did. And he was clear to those men who came to ask him who he was. If you remember, he said, I am not the Christ. And then we have verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So I think that they were already taught by John the Baptist about the coming of the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And what a great job he did, because he said, look, the Lamb of God. And then the two disciples heard him say this, they follow Jesus. And by the way, The core of discipleship remains focused on Christ as the foundation and goal of the Christian life. So I think it's really important for us to see what John the Baptist was doing here. He was pointing Jesus. You should follow him. And if you remember, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to who? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." And then verse 38, "Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?'" I don't know, but for me, it sounds like a serious question, right? What do you want? And I mean, Jesus is God, and he already knows it, right? The next chapter, actually chapter 2 on John, verse 23, it says, Jesus would say, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." So Jesus knows it, but he's still asking them, "What do you want?" So Jesus uses questions to teach, to provoke reflection and guide his followers. I also think that John is showing to his readers the conviction of these disciples, and also how important it is for Jesus our reasons in following him. And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Looks like they dodged the question, right? But I think they're saying, "Rabbi, teacher, we will follow you. Where are you staying? We will stay with you." And see Jesus' answer, verse 39. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And I think this is more than showing them the location. A disciple would decide to follow someone to learn from. Have you thought about how incredible is this invitation by Jesus? "Come, and you will see." And they came, and they saw. John records 7 miracles after this chapter. And these 7 signs demonstrate Jesus' power over nature, sickness, and death, but were also intended to reveal his glory. So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So they saw where he was, but they also spent the day with Jesus. When I was right in this verse, I asked to myself, "Hey, where's John the Baptist? Why was he not one of his disciples?" And I think the reason is that his mission was to prepare the way as a prophet, as a voice. His purpose was to point to Jesus as the Messiah. And then we keep reading verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the 2 who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." Verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And I think that we see here that inviting others was a way to share the transformative experience and truth they encountered, encouraging others to explore the same path. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. In biblical tradition, a name change signifies a transformation of identity and destiny. The name Peter implies strength and stability. So Peter represents a visible witness and leader, but the ultimate foundation is Christ alone. So Jesus changes Simon's name, demonstrating divine authority to confer a new identity and mission within the redemptive plan. Remember, John's purpose in writing this gospel, so you might believe he is the Son of God. That's what Jesus is doing. He's showing his authority as God. If you remember Matthew 16, 15, it says, he said to them, Jesus, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, the same Peter and Simon here, replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter is a chosen instrument for leadership, but the true rock and foundation is Christ himself and the confession of faith in him. The church's authority does not reside in Peter as a person, but in the divine revelation he confessed, centered on Christ. And then verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. So we just saw that Andrew was the one who called Simon to follow Jesus. But here in verse 43 is Jesus asking Philip to follow him. So I think Jesus calls everyone. But the narrative shows that the response and incorporation into discipleship vary depending on each disciple's personal and relational circumstances. And then verse 44, Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Bethsaida means house of fishing. And I think the reason why John added this in his gospel is important, because coming from the same village, they could confirm each other's testimony, the testimony about Jesus. This helped facilitate the spread of Jesus' message through established social and family networks, reinforced group identity and unity, and enabled the initial expansion of the gospel in Galilee. And then we have verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Maybe Philip was anticipating Nathanael's response because he would say later, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? So just maybe Philip wanted to add, we have found the one Moses wrote and also the prophets also wrote. And here we have another clear and forceful declaration John left for us. Identifying Jesus as the one they spoke about means he fulfills all the promises, prophecies, and commandments in those scriptures, the law and the prophets. John wants to establish his messianic identity and divine authority. Jesus himself would say this later about himself on the same gospel, John 5, 46. For if you believe Moses, Jesus would say, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. And then Luke 24, 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And we keep reading verse 46. Nazareth, that's what Nathanael said. Can anything good come from there? The Jewish people were waiting for a deliverer. The Messiah was expected as a king who would restore Israel and establish the kingdom of God. So now Philip's declaration didn't work. So he had to tell him, come and see. And we see again this expression, come and see, in this same chapter. The first disciples heard about Jesus, but they also had to follow Jesus. They would be his witnesses. John, the same John, in his first letter, He says, and I'm reading chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, 1 and 3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And then verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we didn't have the apostles' experience with Jesus, but for the testimony of this man through all generations and the work of the Holy Spirit, we have come to believe. As effective as was Jesus' calling to his disciples, it was also for us and all believers. Jesus praying, if you remember in John 17, verses 18 and 20, he said, and he prayed like this, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them, he's talking about his disciples, the apostles, into the world. And then verse 20, I do not ask for this only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So let's go to verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite. I'm sorry, that's the best I have. Israelite? Yeah, okay. In whom there is no deceit. And Jesus is doing again what he just did with Simon. He's showing him his divinity. He's the one who knows the heart of every human being. And Nathanael asked, verse 48, how do you know me? It wasn't enough for Nathanael. So Jesus had to say, verse 48, Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And I love Jesus' answer. He could say that he knows him because I am God. But this answer is more personal. And Jesus didn't choose him right when he met him. He didn't even before the foundation of the world. So Jesus would say in chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And then verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. How beautiful and is the effective call of Jesus to all who have believed. We didn't have, as I said, these disciples' experience, but the same God called us. And we all have confessed, you are the Son of God. You are the King. Then verse 50, Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than that. So Jesus would be with them for 3 years. He will teach them more about himself and the kingdom of God. They would become his witnesses, and I have already said something about this. So let's go to verse 51. The last verse. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So in Genesis 28, chapter 28, we see Jacob's dream. Do you remember that? He's fleeing from his brother. Along the way, he has stopped to rest where he would have a dream. And God would renew the promise made to his father and grandfather, Abraham. But he also dreamed about a ladder connecting heaven and earth, and angels descending and ascending. So we don't see this image again in the Old Testament until now, when Jesus is calling for the first disciples. And as Paul explained to the Galatians, the promises God made to Abraham pointed to Jesus as the singular offspring and mediator of the covenant. So Jesus is saying to Nathanael, you will see with your own eyes the incarnation of Jacob's ladder. Heaven has come down. His kingdom is here. The gap has been bridged because he came to earth. If you remember, Paul would say to Timothy in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which in the testimony given at the proper time. Some of you may wonder why to follow Jesus, why to believe in Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The promised Messiah, he is the Son of God. Jesus took our punishment by dying and rising again, defeating death to give us eternal life. Today, Jesus invites you to come and see, to know him personally and receive his forgiveness. And I would like to finish, give you to you all three applications. And number one, the call to follow Jesus remains a vital and ongoing command to believers today. We follow him by faith, obedience, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and guided by Scripture. Number two, we have also been called to make disciples. Jesus sent his disciples. They were witnesses, and through their testimony, the gospel was spread and came to us. We should continue Jesus' commission. When he said that he would be with us always to the end of the age, he was giving to all believers for the next generations not just this beautiful promise that he would be with us, but the calling to make disciples. Number three, Genesis 28:16, where we were reading about Jacob's dream. Verse 16 says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Are we conscious of this reality? Is our daily life shaped by this truth? The Lord is in this place, and we know it. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you because you came to this earth and you took our place. Thank you for your work on that cross. We thank you for what you made possible for us, for your church. Oh God, help us to make disciples. Help us to do this work every day. There are many ways to do it, and we have been called by you to do it. God, help us also to have our eyes in Jesus every moment, to follow him, to be like him. But God, we give you all the glory. We thank you for your word. In Christ we pray. Amen.